February 14th, Eric Gerhold. February 22nd, Gio Nelson. but what do you think? Considering what we were able to do last year and year before for Super Bowl Sunday. Aren't you all excited for Super Bowl Sunday?
No.
That time when we bring our donations for the Bread of Life Food Pantry.
Yeah.
Hey, isn't that what Super Bowl Sunday is all about? Bringing donations of soup and other food? About throwing a ball around, but that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that you remember during the course of this week when you come into the church, or next Sunday especially, we'll have these boxes probably over there after the unmarked boxes. And we ask that you place your objects in one of those two boxes for this, the Chiefs or the Eagles, and if you don't care which one wins, you just put it wherever. The whole purpose really is to have a fun way of acknowledging that our food pantry needs donations year-round. So remember to bring your canned goods. There's also always need of things like laundry detergent and toiletry items such as baby wipes, so keep that in mind as well. Do we have any other announcements we need to take care of? If not, please stand as you're able to. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, our Creator, our Protector, our Wellspring of Life. Amen. Trusting that God receives our words and the meditations of our hearts, let us confess our sins. Merciful God, please be
blessings and compassion into the world. Forgive us for the ways we act, the judgment, cruelty, or indifference. May we aware of the needs of our neighbors. We resist our call to the Holy's justice. Give him sincerity and fear. Is his rumors work out one another.
Cleanse us from our faults and release us from the grass. Show us your loving kindness.
Restore our hearts and prepare your world
that we may live in our space. Amen. God proclaims these words of assurance. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. In Christ, you are forgiven. In the Spirit, you are made free. Refreshed by the waters of mercy, live anew as beloved children of God. Amen. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song of the 7th Christ be unrighteous.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray together. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading today is from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. God calls Jeremiah to be a prophet and consecrates him in the womb. Jeremiah's task is to preach God's word amid the difficult political realities of his time, before the Babylonian exile. He is to make God known not only to Judah, but also to the nations. A reading from Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. You shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 71, verses 1 through 6, responsively. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. You are my crag and my stronghold.
Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the justice of the evildoer and the oppressor.
For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young.
I have been sustained by you ever since I was born. From my mother's womb, you have been my strength. My praise shall be always with you.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 13. Christians in Corinth prided themselves of their spiritual gifts. Paul reminds them that God gives them many gifts through the Holy Spirit. But the purpose behind all of them is love, the kind of love that God showed us in Jesus Christ. A reading from 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions away, and if I hand over my body so that I have nothing, so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do hear also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. But Elijah was sent to none of them except for a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. And there were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of a the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think we need to begin with last week's gospel, where Jesus has been doing great works of healing in Capernaum. And news of him spreads. And so he's invited to synagogues to read and to preach. And he arrives at last in his homeland, Nazareth. And he stands up, and they give him the scroll, which is the scroll of Isaiah. And he turns to the passage where he wants to read. And if you remember, he reads these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim." Of course, I can't read this. "To proclaim liberty to the captives, sight to the blind, to tell the oppressed that they will go free." And then he says, "These words have been fulfilled in your hearing." And their initial response was just amazement. And then they start murmuring, "Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the person we grew up with? And don't we know him? Don't we know his family? Who does he think he is?" And he knows that they are expecting him to do the same great works that he's been doing in Capernaum. And he looks at them. And what he's telling them is, because you don't believe, I'm not going to do those great works. And you don't have any right to anything better just because this is my hometown. Instead, I expected you to believe, and you don't. And therefore, I'm not going to do those great works. And they get angry at him. They get angry at him because he speaks the truth. And they want to take him and hurl him over a cliff. Why? Because he speaks the truth. Because he tells them who he is. In this time of Epiphany, our readings will turn us to who Jesus is, reflecting more and more an understanding of who Jesus is, who he proclaims himself to be, who we know him to be. One thing Jesus does is tell the truth. He speaks out even when he knows that his listeners don't want to hear what he has to say, because the words have been given to him by God. The same held true with Jeremiah. We heard in our first reading today Jeremiah's call story, how he protested that he didn't want to be called, and how God overcame that resistance. Jeremiah spoke the word of the Lord, and you know what the response was? It wasn't good. The people did not want to hear what Jeremiah had to say. We heard last week a small portion of Jeremiah that are the words of consolation. But most of the time, the people simply don't want to hear the word of the Lord. They're content with the way that things are, even if things are not going well. And Jesus never seems to be the Messiah that they want him to be. And certainly in his hometown, he is not the Messiah that they wanted him to be. It is difficult to speak the word of the Lord. And when I prepare my sermons, I spend a lot of time sitting in prayer asking the Holy Spirit what the word of the Lord is here and now. And other preachers do the same thing. Recently, there was a person who preached, and we've heard people speak out against those words, and some people speak in solidarity with them. And if you were listening on Inauguration Day, You may have heard those words during the National Service of Prayer. And according to one news article, it says, on the morning of the presidential inauguration, the Right Reverend Mary Ann Betty pretty much had the structure of her sermon for the next day finished. The Episcopal Bishop of Washington had ruminated on it ever since she was announced in October as the preacher for the interfaith prayer service at the Washington National Cathedral that traditionally concludes the presidential inauguration festivities. Betty had decided to focus on three values she believes are important for national unity: honoring the inherent dignity of every human being, honesty, and humility. Would we have any disagreement with any of those things? Anyone? Do we believe in the inherent dignity of every human being? Do we believe in honesty? Do we believe in humility? So, it looked like the basis of her sermon was going to be one that should have been well received. And the article continues, but as she watched Donald Trump's inauguration Monday and the executive order he signed immediately after, she realized she needed to add something else. I found myself thinking there's a fourth thing we need for unity in this country. We need mercy. We need mercy. We need compassion. We need empathy. And after listening to the president on Monday, I thought I wasn't just going to speak of it in general terms. How many of you have heard the sermon? So you know how she concluded it. So it wasn't the portion of the sermon where she talked about the dignity of every human being, honesty, humility in general terms. It's that plea at the end of her sermon that caused such fury. And as she said, unity is relatively easy to pray for on occasions of great solemnity. It's a lot harder to realize when we're dealing with real differences in our private lives and in the public arena. But without unity, we're building our nation's house on sand. And with a commitment to unity that incorporates diversity and transcends disagreement, and with the solid foundations of dignity, honesty, and humility that such unity requires, we can do our part, and in our time, to realize the ideals and the dreams of America. And isn't that what we want? A unified nation. And she goes on, let me make one final plea, Mr. President. Millions have put their trust in you. And as you told the nation yesterday, you have felt the providential hand of a loving God. In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people of our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings and labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals. They may not be citizens or have the proper documentation, but the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are family members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger, for we were all once strangers in this land. May God grant us the strength and courage to honor the dignity of every human being, to speak the truth to one another in love, to walk humbly with one another and our God for the good of all people, the good of all people in this nation and in the world. Those were her words. And there are many who take offense at them. And there are many who hold her up. One thing as a ELCA church is that we are allowed to disagree with one another. As long as we hold to the truths that are in our creed, the truths that are in the Book of Concord, the truths that are in our Bible, we can disagree with one another on all sorts of issues. But do we disagree with the concept of mercy? I'm going to leave that to you to figure out. I ask that you look again at her sermon. And if there are places where you disagree, let's have that conversation. And let's talk about how we, as a church, can show love. This is a loving congregation. There are many, many ways that we express love. There are many ways that we fulfill the great commandments. Love God, love neighbor. This is one of them. Our prayer chain is another. The ways that we interact with our community, the greater world, these are ways we show love. But how, when we're challenged by Bishop Eddy's words, do we decide as a church to be loving? What do we do in the face of her challenge to show mercy? As I say, many will disagree, and it's your right to disagree. But my challenge is, Jesus has told us to love. And how best are we to do that as individuals and as a faith community? How do we love our God by loving our neighbor? What is the best way that we can approach that? Here in Buffalo, here in Wyoming? How do we follow the way of love that Jesus has pointed out for us? How do we do it? Let's have that conversation. Let's walk in the way of love. And let it be not simply words, but let it be action. Amen. And last week, we had our annual meeting. And Paul, I'm going to ask that you, as a representative of council, come forward and present the two people that we elected as our new council members. First of all, we need to thank those who are going off council. And those two individuals are...
Michelle Walker and...
Jean Baum.
Both of
whom have worked tirelessly and will continue to work tirelessly for this church, albeit not as church council members. And the two that we have elected as our new council members to help lead and guide this church are...
Linda Chapman, over there in the middle, and Rachel Stinger, just a little bit.
So Linda and Rachel, I ask you to come forward, because we need to install you as leaders in this congregation. I'm going to ask Paul that you stay up here.
Yes.
So the following people have been elected by this congregation to positions of leadership as members of our church council. We give thanks for their willingness to serve. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of God. We rejoice now that these individuals will help lead us in our common life and our mutual mission as a congregation. A reading from 1 Corinthians. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You, Linda and Rachel, have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith bear witness to God, who gathers us into one together with the whole church. You are to seek to involve all members of this congregation in worship, learning, witness, service, and support so that the mission of Christ is carried out in this congregation, in the wider church, in this community, and in the whole world. You are to be faithful in your specific area of serving, that the Spirit who empowers you may be glorified. You are to be examples of faith active in love, fostering harmony and mutual understanding in this congregation. On behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you, Linda and Rachel, will you accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected? If so, please respond, I will, and I ask God to help me. And people of God, I ask you, will you support these, your elected leaders, and will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all who are baptized? If so, please respond, we will, and we ask God to help us.
We will, and we ask God to help us.
I now declare you, Linda, and you, Rachel, installed as members of our church council. Almighty God bless you and direct your days and your deeds in peace, that you may be faithful servants of Christ. Amen. You are now installed as council members. Congratulations. And thank you so much for your willingness to step forward. It is greatly appreciated. Let us now join together in our hymn of the day, number 644, Although I Speak with Angels' Tongue. Now let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all of creation.
God of eternal wisdom, we pray for your church, which is being transformed by your word. Bless the church with your wisdom and guidance, Let us notice and take part in the new thing you are doing. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Your creation sustains us and all living creatures. Grant us humility to acknowledge the ways we bring harm to the earth. Grant us courage to make effective change so that all lands and living things prosper. God of grace, hear our prayer.
Embolden leaders of nations, corporations, and all in authority that they lovingly tend those in their charge. Help them respond to all who cry out in need. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Provide for those whose hunger runs deep due to isolation, loneliness, or illness. We pray especially for those who are on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts.
Lynn.
We pray for the families of those who died in the two recent tragic airline crashes. We pray for those who continue to die in Israel, Gaza, Ukraine, and Russia. Send your spirit so that all are filled with your presence and experience welcome from their communities. God of grace, hear our prayer.
We pray for the young people in our congregations. May their voices be celebrated. Give youth a place of honor and value among us. God of grace,
hear our prayer. We remember those who have gone before us, especially those that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. For all who have modeled for us the way of love. Let their faithful example continue to bear witness to us all. God of grace, hear our prayer. We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among the people. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you always. Let us offer to one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
riches to the heavens,
your abundance to the depths of the seas. Bless us, we offer to your service our gifts, our abilities, and our hearts. Let us overflow with gratitude and generosity, now and always. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praises.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star who was shown forth to all nations, in the waters of the Jordan you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and in the miracle of water turned to wine he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Lord is our strength. Let us pray.
Mercy God, at this table you have refreshed us with holy gifts of food and drink. Strengthen us for service and send us out to embody your good news of liberation and healing in the sake of the world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
And as we go up into the world, if you hunger, you hunger for justice. If you thirst, you thirst for righteousness. Receive this blessing as you go forth to tell the wonders of God's love. The Spirit of the Triune God bless you with joy, anoint you with compassion, and send you in love.
Amen.
Let us join together in our sending hymn, number 543. Go, my children, with my